Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. You're in the right place to be encouraged, and God is good, God is faithful, and this morning we have a lot to accomplish. At the end of service, I actually have a video that I want you to see. It's a song, and it goes along with the message, and also we're going to be receiving communion as a family together. We are the family of God, but the title of our message today is God is My Help. And I actually want to explain that for a few minutes, take a few seconds to explain that. Recently, I was talking with my nephew and I were talking about how over the past few weeks, we've just been crushed in so many ways. And one of the things that we were talking about was hope versus help. And I said, Jonathan, I said, there comes a time in life, hope is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That we have hope for the future. But there comes a time in life, Jay, when I don't want hope right now. I want help. And here, let me explain that. Hope is about the future. Hope is, yes, tell me all day. Hey, you have hope. You got heaven, right? But what about when I'm crushed today? What about when I need help now? I'm not looking for hope. I'm looking for help today. So I want to introduce you not to the God of hope today. You know him, to the God of help, the God who is my help. The God who is your very present help. When the Bible says, I am a present help, let me translate that. His presence is my help. In his presence is my help, just being in his presence. But I wanted to say that, you know, God has been faithful. I have seen God's faithfulness in my personal life from the time I was young until the time I received my Medicare card in the mail. He is a faithful God. And he's never failed me yet. He's always been my help. My hope, yes, but he's been my help in every situation. He's the God of now, not just God of the future. And through all life's problems, through the death of my father, my brother-in-law, through all kinds of sorrows, I have been able to count on one person, and that is Jesus. Jesus, you can count on. Anyone is subject to failure, but not Jesus. And if God has been with us this far, I want to tell you that I trust him that he is going to continue to be with us. But when I was praying the other day and interceding, and Jay and I were talking, this is the verse that came to me, and I got it out and I read it to him. And this is from Samuel, 1 Samuel 7:11-12. This was when Israel was fighting the Philistines. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Then Samuel took a rock. A stone. And by the way, this was huge, huge, huge stone. This wasn't a pebble. And anyone who knows me and has been around me very long knows I carry a little rock in my car and I take it out. It's called my Ebenezer stone. And he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, which in Hebrew means this is the stone of my help. Not my hope. This is the stone of my help. Because he said, unto this very day, the Lord has helped us. And the Philistines came no more, and the hand of the Lord was against them all the days of Samuel, because God was their help. And I love this, that the Lord has helped us, that up until this day, can you say that today, that up until this day, God has always helped you? He has always been your help. He never, never changes. And I just meditated on that all day and all night last night, Ken, that no matter what we're going through, God is our help.
The Bible says he's an ever-present help in our time. Yeah, Frida knows it. In our time of need. So I wanted to just, what you were talking about, hope. The reason that the word hope, see if you can spot the difference. This is so easy to spot the difference. I hope I win the lottery. I have hope that the sun will come up tomorrow. Do you see the difference between those two things? So faith is always now. Hope is always in the future, but in the Bible, hope is a certainty as much as gravity. So you don't hope for things like, it's not the way we say, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope it rains. This is, you can go online and it'll tell you what time the sun will come up tomorrow, what time it'll set. You can go online and tell, and you can read what time the sun will come up, September 3rd, 2069, and you'll know exactly what time it comes up. It's already been determined. And it's hope, but it's still a certainty. So all of our Bible hope is not like, oh, I hope Jesus comes again. It's, he's coming again. Our hope is that Jesus is going to come again. So for God, it is a sure thing. There's a song that I was thinking of, an old song. Probably very, very few of you know it. It was called Remind Me, Dear Lord. Pam knows it, and Mom knows it. I don't know if anyone else. That's a really old song. But I always like the idea of being reminded of things. And I find that I need to be reminded of very simple things. I need to be reminded that I'm loved by God. Sometimes you go, don't you have a revelation of that? Not always. I sometimes lose that revelation. You ever reread your Bible and you get a revelation that God loves you and you want to go, I just got a revelation. And everyone else is like, really? You know, you got a revelation that God loves you? You know. But you can actually have, you know what I'm saying? Where you can get your eyes open and go, I see what I didn't see before. Even the simple things. I need a reminder that I am to be kind. I need a reminder that I am to be gentle. And I read that in the Bible. The Bible is that self-correcting. It's looking in a mirror. It's seeing the dirt on your face in the mirror, right? You read the Bible and it convicts you. Oh, I'm supposed to be honest. Oh, I'm supposed to love one another. Oh, I'm supposed to pray. Oh, I'm supposed to attend. Oh, I'm supposed to praise. Oh, I'm supposed to take communion. So all those things, I need those reminders. They keep us in check. They keep us in check. So I was thinking about time because God's timing is everything. And I decided the best clock, the best example of a clock is not a watch or a big clock. It's an hourglass. It's an hourglass. Because, so I was looking at my watch yesterday, and it's got a second hand on it. It was ticking away. It caused me to think of all this. When you see time passing, it is an hourglass that is flipped once, and that's your life. And the sand is running down. Now, as far as reminders, so I've got this fancy Apple Watch that's 3 years old, but this is my second one, I think. I think I had one before this. So I don't know how many years the Apple Watch has been out, but let's call it 8. I don't know, but maybe more. But so I've had probably an Apple Watch, and there's a purpose for me explaining this. I've had this for about 8 years, so when I first got it, there's a thing on there where you can write your name on the watch so that when you look at the time, you can see your name. And I realize I know my name. So I was thinking, this is like 8 years ago. I was thinking, well, what can I put there? Because I don't want to put Ken. That's stupid. You know, oh, I'm Ken. So it's a small thing. But sometimes this. So there was a time. So some of the things I've done for reminders is once in a while I will set up a hourly beep where just every hour it beeps. And that's to cause me to remember the Lord. But what I put on my name, instead of putting my name, I put Jesus. Every time I look at my watch for the last 8 years, I cannot look at the time without seeing Jesus. And it's always there in the background. I don't always think about it, but it's right there in the middle. And as I was thinking about time yesterday, and I was looking at the second hand, and I was seeing the word Jesus, the name of Jesus, I thought of something else. I thought, not only does this remind me of who he is, it reminds me of who I am, but I had a new thought yesterday that the very time that I'm looking at passing by, he's the author and finisher of that. And that just kind of blew me away. He's right there in the middle. Anyway, small things like that to remind us And by way of announcement, Miss Debbie, you're speaking tonight, correct? Yes. Do you have your topic? What are you speaking on? Okay, it's going to be, but I'll tell you, the fact that she says she can't tell us means it's something special. It's going to be something good. So Miss Debbie is speaking tonight. Debbie has brought some really encouraging messages the last few times that she spoke. I've really enjoyed it. She spoke on the New Testament, the Book of Revelation, a month or so ago, and that was powerful. We had specifically asked her to speak on that, and so and then tomorrow night we have. What are you speaking on, Pam?
We're doing Daniel. We're continuing.
Daniel, who is me and Pam were talking one day about people in the Bible that God never said anything negative about. It's like, it looks like they really had almost, and so only a very, very few people made the cut. And I decided Enoch made the cut. I didn't see anything negative about Enoch. And Daniel and Joseph make the cut. Most people don't make the cut. Samuel makes the cut. But even the biggest names in the Bible, your Peters and your Davids and your Solomons, they don't even come close to making the cut. So Daniel is just such a special case, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that I'm looking forward to all of these messages. And we have communion today, so praise God. All right, Miss Pam.
You know, God is faithful, and he's always been faithful. He always will be faithful. And I think sometimes we kind of look at God and think, well, maybe he's kind of like us. Maybe there's going to be a time when he just doesn't come through for us. But that we know that's not true with our head, but do we have a revelation of that in our heart, that God is with us, that God is going to come through with us? Whatever, you know, your situation is going to change almost like the wind. You're going to have highs and lows, good days and bad days, good weeks and bad weeks, good years and bad years. But he never changes. Now, he can change your situation and your circumstance, thank you, Jesus, because of the cross, but he doesn't. But I want to tell you this morning, the very same God who was with you in 1982 is with you in 2022. He is that same God. He is no different. And if he has been with you this long, why would you even consider the possibility that maybe God will drop the ball, and something will go wrong that cannot be fixed? Anything. God can fix anything. He makes a way when there seems no way. He can take you through any storm. He's took you through many fires already. For us to come along and say, well, this time it's too much. This time it's too hard. And, you know, sometimes we tell ourselves, well, maybe God is not with us. God has kind of hidden himself from us. Even King David had those emotions. Where are you, God? How long will you hide your face from me? God is not hiding from you. God does not even hide things from you. He hides things for you to be discovered. There are things in God's word that he wants you to discover, but he can be trusted. If he's faithful, he can be trusted. Someone who is faithful is someone that you trust. You know, I can say, did I get up this morning and say, well, maybe Pastor Ken isn't going to show up today. I mean, lots of times he's just a no-show. He just doesn't come. No, that is not the truth. He always is faithful. And if there's a reason that something doesn't happen, he will tell me. How much more God? God will speak to you. Even God, when I've asked him questions, why this or why that, he is very faithful to answer us. Maybe not in the way we want, but he does answer. You know, God has plans for you and I. When we say that, Samuel said at Mizpah, God has brought us up until this day. God has been faithful. And he put a stone there so anytime he passed by, he could see that big boulder, which was about the size of the tombstone of Christ, which I love, by the way, the analogy there, that he put it there so that everybody who's seen that stone would be, God has been faithful to us. And God has been faithful to you for a reason. God brought you this far for a reason, because he's got a future. He declares that he has good plans for you. I don't have to worry about, hey, God. I mean, I've asked, Ken and I ask each other, because we're only human, we'll say, hey, what's the plan? What's the plan for lunch? You know, he'll call, what's the plan? We always ask each other. But I don't have to ask God what the plan is, because God said the plan is for good, to give you a hope, to give you a future, and He's in charge of the plans. Aren't you glad that God is in charge of the plans for your life and you're not on the planning committee? I'm not on the planning committee for my life. God is. And God saved. Why did God save Moses? Why did he put his family through all of that where they had to give up this little baby and put this baby to even save him? There was a reason, because God had plans for him to save others. Do you know why God has brought you this far and saved you for now? So that you can tell people about how God saved you and save other people in the process. That's why. He is faithful. And I don't think about leaving God, because God never has thought about leaving me. You know, well, are you always going to serve God all your life? I mean, you've done this for a long time now. Have you considered maybe something else? No. No, I haven't, because he's been faithful. I want to be faithful in return. You know, how about Joseph? All of his brothers wanted to kill him. They were not, who do you think withheld that from happening to him? God. Do you know why God saved Joseph? So that he could save other people. And even the hard times he went through was leading to promotion. Do you know that the prison and the pit were just pathway? Prison, pit, pathway to promotion. Can you remember that saying in your life? I'm in the pit. Okay, Pastor Pam. I'm in the pit. Okay. I'm in the prison. It ain't fair, but it's a pathway to your promotion, because God wants to use you.
That's good. So if God is faithful, what is he faithful to do? Well, he watches over his word, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
That's always brought me great comfort. As I studied the origins of the Bible, one of the most exciting things, because you always hear people say that, you know, well, when you, like the telephone game, when you repeat something 10 times, the message changes, so it was completely different. So with the Bible, there was, people had always said without any evidence, well, they kept copying copies of copies of copies of copies, and so they completely changed the Word of God. So it was, what, in the 40s, I think, 1940s, in Israel at near Wadi Qumrah. I remembered that from Bible school, by the way, which just means a small, these small brooks and streams and things, that they, a shepherd boy found a cave. And in the cave, they discovered the oldest copy of the Bible that's in existence. And so this was exciting for not only the scientific community, but for the biblical community, because if it's true that copying the Bible over and over and over completely changed it, we're about to find out. 99.99% accuracy. Because the scribes that did make the copies of the copies of the copies of the copies of the copies, they took their job seriously. This is the Word of God. You don't add anything. You keep it exactly the way it is. And you say, but so, because people say, how can you have confidence in the Word of God? The Bible itself says he watches over his word. So I don't have to doubt whether or not that God's word is God's word, because it is. But so if he's watching over his word, then as we read the word, it's going to challenge your faith. And that enables me and you to check. Have you ever thought about challenging God? I like that song that starts out, "You said, ask for the nations," right? You said, ask for the nations. That is, keep singing, yeah. I've got a CD coming out. It's all a cappella, so it's really, it's going to be a bestseller. I just know it. Yeah. But to tell God, there's nothing, have you ever thought, do you think that would cross the line to say, God, you said? I think he loves it when we say, God, you said, ask and you shall receive. You said, knock and the door would be open. You said, ask and keep on asking. You said to be in faith. Mm-hmm. Someone was talking about Peter getting out of the boat. I think it was Pam. And the thing that is the most amazing to me about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water is whose idea it was for Peter to get out of the boat. It wasn't Jesus' idea. It was Peter's idea. It was Peter's idea. Let me come. I'll get out of the boat. If that's you, then I'll get out. In other words, there are times that you'll make a declaration of faith that say, God, I'm believing for this. And because it's based on the word of God, because you're stepping out. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't put out an ad in the paper, come if you have an issue of blood. That was her idea. She said to herself, if I could touch the hem of. Whose idea was it for the woman to come and worship at the feet of Jesus? That was her idea. Notice over and over in the Bible, people that begin to that say, I'm going to start a church, I'm going to start a ministry, I'm going to start a soup kitchen. They decide to do it, and God's like, that's right in line with what I'm doing. So that's where the faith part comes in. So to challenge God, and it's, you know, it's a lesson I learned actually just from my dad. He would give me his word on something, and I would count on it. Amen. He'd say, we're going to go to the White Sox game Friday night. Amen. You can bet Friday morning I'm making plans. We're going to the White Sox game tonight. What do you base that on? His word. As a matter of fact, one time, and I felt so bad about this, hearing about it years later, my dad had promised to take us to a Blackhawks game, and he did, and it was amazing. And then years later, he told me, he said, I was so sick that night. Yep. He said he was in the bathroom throwing up, and he said people thought he was drunk at the Blackhawks game because he was throwing up. But you know why he was there? Which I would have been fine, by the way. There's no way I would have said, let's go anyway. I felt so bad but I think he was trying. It's not that he wanted to go to the Blackhawks game. He could care less about the Blackhawks game. He was showing that you keep your word no matter what, which is lessons that, and I've shared with you that we had an extra computer at the church a few years ago. It's like, we don't need this computer. Let's give it away. So I called the homeless shelter, and I said, we have an extra computer. And they said, great, bring it over. And then the computer we have just broke. It lost its smoke, and smoke is the thing that makes electrical things work. They put smoke in everything. And if you lose the smoke, you've lost the smoke. It's not going to work anymore. And so the computer is smoking, and I'm like, oh, we lost the smoke. It came out of the case. I need a computer, and I have one that I just gave away. And I so wanted to pick up the phone, but I couldn't. No. Instead, I had to bring that computer over because, anyway, there's a scripture in Malachi 3:6 that I wanted to talk about. I, the Lord, do not change. Oh, my goodness. That blows me away. First of all, this is not some writer saying God doesn't change. This is God saying, get out of the way, writer. I, the Lord, this is God speaking, right? He says, I, the Lord, this is God speaking. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you children of Jacob are not consumed. So let's think about that a minute, because that blows me away that God does not change. The reason that it hits me this morning, I love to hear about miracles. I love to hear Bill Johnson preach, because he's always talking about miracles and how people were healed of deafness and people were healed of pain and all sorts, just wonderful miracles, cancers and things like that. So I was just reading about healings, and I just finished reading this article, and it was this lady that wrote how she learned to accept her disease. No. Yeah. But it was on and on about she learned how Jesus loved her and she's learned to accept the disease. Which I'm glad that she still loved God. But here's the thing. You should push back in the spirit to anything in your life that is not of God. When the Bible says to speak to the mountain, it's not talking about a physical mountain. God isn't trying to actually move physical mountains. He put them there. He will move them eventually. But the mountain is your problem. I look out in my backyard, I have a beautiful view. But what if one day you look out and there's a mountain there? Satan says, accept the new mountain. Accept that problem in your life. You've got to push back. Every problem in your life is an opportunity for you to be in faith. Don't take the watered down word of man or helping God out that God is teaching you a lesson and you should, yes, you could die in all kinds of unbelief, but you don't have to. Because believe me, when you get to heaven and find out what we could have had, what we could have done, what we could have believed for, we're going to say, oh, I wish I would have pushed back. So problems are an opportunity for faith. I'm going to take the other side of this and see if you remember, see how well you remember your Bible. We're going to walk through the Bible and you'll remember these stories. Remember with the woman that had the issue of blood and she found Jesus and Jesus said, oh woman, you've had this so long. You just need to accept this. Remember that one? Remember blind Bartimaeus? And Jesus said, can you hear? Quit complaining. The man with leprosy, Jesus said, if you had been here last month, but this is too far advanced even for me, but there's a chemo clinic that you can go to. Do you remember when thousands came for healing and Jesus said, it's Thursday? The paralyzed man got his friends, and they cut a hole in the roof. Remember that? They couldn't get to Jesus. And they lowered the man into Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. The man at the pool says, I have no man to help me. And Jesus said, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. When the hungry came to Jesus, he said, go to Burger King. You know what the point I'm making. And Pam was ready to make this too, that he healed them all. And that's why the Bible blows me away, because the promises are so over the top. They are so over the top that you almost have to say, God, I wouldn't be praying this if you didn't say it. But God, you shouldn't have said this if you didn't mean it. You said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You didn't say, learn to accept it, learn to live with it. I'm teaching you a lesson. God loves you even if you accept everything bad that comes into your life and goes, that's just the way my life is. But I'll tell you something. If you want to please God, how do you please God? Faith. You have to be in. God is pleased with those that are in faith. So I'm encouraging you to push back against the enemy at every turn. And does the Bible say to accept the devil or push back? Resist. Right? You resist. You stay in faith. And he'll flee. He'll run from you.
It is absolutely true. I know you like the little list we made. He never said that. He never said that. Jesus fed them all. They all ate. When he fed the multitudes, there was no one who walked away hungry, was there? Even up until the Last Supper. You know, one of my favorite, if I ever got a tattoo, I have no plans to, you know, I had a small tattoo and it hurt really, really, really bad. But for me, I'm a wimp. I would have the tattoo that's famous that says Judas ate too. Even up until Judas, he was fed too. The same thing with healing. He healed them all. There were 10 lepers. Somebody remind me how many were healed. 8, 9, 6. 10. That was Jesus saying, I heal them all. Did he stop and ask one? Well, one of you did something bad last week. Well, one of you got a divorce, didn't you? One of you, didn't you go to prison years ago? He never asked anything. He just healed them because of his love and because of his mercy. I'll share a personal story with you. For years, I listened to a particular radio station, and I would hear the woman, you know, Johnny Tada Erickson, who was paralyzed in a diving accident many, many years ago, and she goes all around the country, thank you, Jesus, for speaking the word, and she speaks the word, but it began to bother me, and I asked the Lord, why does this bother me? Why does this, I can't even hardly stand to listen to this woman. I always listen. I love Bill Johnson, and I love Stephen Furtick. I love everybody. But Johnny Erickson Tata, I just can't listen to her. Do you know why? Because every single time she says, God did this to me because he had a ministry for me that I would not have if I had not been in this diving accident. And I just want to jump through the phone and say, Johnny, you've lived all these years with this and yet had access to people that would pray for you, that would stand with you, that would stand in faith. And I would rather live in faith than die and die in faith than live in unbelief. I don't want to live in unbelief. I believe he's the healer. I believe every single time that he is the healer. I remember my dad saying something to me that has stuck with me for many, many years. And he was talking about healing with another minister. And he said, I almost don't believe that you could die of a grievous sickness while you were standing in faith, confessing the blood and the cross. And throughout the years, I have thought about that because I've seen people give up. I've seen people say, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't, or people that literally want to go home. I understand that. But as long as I have breath, I'm going to thank him that he said in Exodus that I am the healer. I'm going to thank him that in the Old Testament, he's the healer. That in the New Testament, he's the healer. That today, he's the healer. Tomorrow, he's going to be the healer. And I say every time, I didn't say that he's the healer. He said it. He said, I didn't say Jesus is the healer. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I'm trusting in that. Anytime anything goes wrong in my life, I'm not going to sit down and take it. I'm not going to accept, because we talk about this. Where does sickness come from? Where does it come from? It comes from the pit of hell. Where do you think leprosy comes from? You think that's a gift from God? You think cancer is a gift from God? You think diabetes is a gift from God? It is not. It is a gift from the pit of hell. So if I accept it, I am accepting the unfruitful works of darkness. I am accepting the problem instead of accepting Jesus as my answer. I believe he's the healer. I believe that he is even the resurrection and the life. And if that same power that is in Christ, it dwells in me, he will quicken my mortal body. Do you know what that means? He'll raise up my mortal body. So if you're sick today, that's a word for you.
And think about the man that was paralyzed that couldn't get to Jesus. He did not accept it. He's like, this is unacceptable. I'm going to get to Jesus. If we have to climb on the roof and cut a hole in the roof and lower me down. So all the miracles in the Bible, the stories that are to encourage us, are not people that rolled over. It's people that pushed back against the darkness and said, God is on my side. Every need shall be supplied, and trusted God. And you know, the lepers that did get healed, you were talking about the 10. Yes, 10 of them got healed, but do you know that only 2 of them were made whole? 10 got healed, but 2 came back to Jesus, and the Bible said they were made whole. When Jesus did the miracle of the fishes, not when he fed the people with the fish, but when they lowered the net and they caught all the fish. Do you know that the crowd was looking at all the fish? It says they were amazed at all the fish. They were looking at the wrong thing, because Peter was looking at the one that had multiplied the fish. See, it's not just about the miracle, it's about the miracle worker. So when we think about Queen Esther as an example, she has a calling on her life, even though she's a nobody. You say, how is she a nobody? She's the queen. Nope, she was a nobody. She was an orphan, but she had a call of God on her life, a strong call of God on her life. And the call was to save her people. And here's the thing I want to tell you about Esther. She was gorgeous, like turning heads gorgeous, like, whoa, supermodel gorgeous. Don't you think that with her being as beautiful as she was, that everywhere she went, she turned heads? She could have had anyone she wanted to be her husband or boyfriend, whatever. It's a picture of the world that is offering you alternatives. Hey, Esther, my name's Bob, you know? And she's like, Bob, I belong to the king. See how she only had eyes for the king. And I think that's amazing that she was not drawn away by anything else. We see Gideon, who was a nobody. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm the least of the least. I'm from the smallest tribe. I'm the smallest in my family. My family's from the smallest town. We are nothing. We are nobody. And yet here's God's saying, you are a mighty warrior. One of the simplest things that we read in Genesis is something that may just sound like a throwaway comment, that things produce after their own kind. There's great spiritual significance to that. Broccoli, if you plant broccoli, is there anyone that could guess what's going to come up? Every time. Every time. You will never get tomatoes with broccoli. I don't care how much the seeds look the same. And the Bible talks about trees and human beings being trees. Did you realize that? I saw men as trees. The Bible talked about trees planted by living waters. The thing about trees is they don't move around too much, do they? The tree in your front yard doesn't walk to your backyard. Not ever. Trees are planted and they grow there. God has given you a life and has planted you somewhere. The only reason to ever be transplanted. Oh, and here's the thing about, Here's the thing about trees that are planted by streams. You could have no waterfall and no water near that tree, but if it's planted by a river, the roots, it's going to pull water from the river. So the fact that you might live in a desert, you go, my life is in a desert. If your roots tap into the river of God, you're still going to flourish. So if it's true that apple trees produce apple trees, then let's talk about another tree. What will the cross produce? Christians. Apple trees produce apples, and the cross produces Christians. Because things produce after their own kind. When you're born again, you're born into a new family. So if you were adopted, you might want to know who your father was. Because if you adopt someone, they go, we need to know the medical records of your parents, whether or not they had certain diseases. So you go, I'm adopted. Well, we want to find out a little about your father and about your family. What runs in your family? Well, I belong to the family of God. Jesus is in my family. What love runs in my family. We inherit after the father. I looked up Mozart's life, and you're going to be shocked. Sarcastically, you're not going to be shocked. What I'm about to tell you is going to make the most sense in the world. I didn't want to know about Moses. I didn't want to know about Mozart. You know what I wanted to know about? Pam, do you know what I wanted to know about?
His father.
Guess what his father did for a living? He did three things. He was a conductor of an orchestra, and he was a composer of music. And he was a violinist. And here, does that surprise anyone? No. That Mozart's father was deep into music. And so the thing is, Esther didn't know who she was, but she found out who she was. And you may not, you look at your own limitations, and I'm telling you that buried within you, you have the potential to be who your father is.
Now we need to find out about Mozart's children, because it does pass from one generation to the next generation, to your, like the song says, the blessing to your children and your children's children and to all generations, that you pass on the blessing. Sadly, you also pass on the curse in a family until somebody decides to break that and say, no more, we're going to change that from blessing. And, you know, the Lord has been on our side all of these years, and he's been with us because God has a plan for us, for each and every one of us. And part of that plan is, like Esther, for us to save people. But we can't save people without being in the presence of the King. That's when I taught Esther, that's the very crux of the whole story for me, is in order to save other people, I must spend time in the presence of the King. I need the king's help in order to do that, right? She could never have just said, I'm going to save all the people. She needed the King's help. She needed to talk to the King. She needed to be in communion with him, in relationship with him. You know, we see Vashti and we see how she was invited into the King's presence and she refused. So her life wound up being meaningless. You never hear from her anymore. There's no story to tell. She didn't save anybody. She didn't even save herself, did she? She herself got banished from the kingdom, but Esther did. She did it differently. She desired the presence of the Lord. And, you know, but I believe that God wants to use each and every one of us. And to say this is just, it's so basic. But I've said this before in classes. Do you believe that God can use people who are imperfect? He's a perfect God who uses imperfect people. He uses people like Rahab. He uses liars and thieves and cheaters and all kinds of people because he's a transforming God, and because he can, because he changes us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Moses stuttered. I remember my dad stuttered. So many people that he used. But I just want us to be reminded this morning that God is on our side. Can I say it like that? And if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't even be here today. Can I tell you that? You likely would not be here. You'd be at a bar. You'd be someplace else. You probably would even be dead. So many of us, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, Psalm 124 says, and it repeats it a second time, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us quick. When their wrath was, when they were angered and kindled against us, but the waters had overwhelmed us. God has been on your side. God is for you, not against you. Many, many people are against you. Do you know that? King David said it, on all sides, people pursue me, they come at me. I feel the exact same way that he did. And guess what? Men are out to do that to you, but God is on your side. He is for you, not against you. He is with you. He's never left you one. And the Bible says, blessed is the Lord who's not given us prey to the enemy. Our soul is escaped like a bird. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I have a song that I want us to play that it's a beautiful and powerful song. And I want you to take it to heart. Gio has it. It's called If the Lord. It's a testimony of a girl who was on drugs and alcohol. She's not going to give her full testimony. I didn't do that because it's too long. But she was delivered from drugs. She was delivered from alcohol. And she said the words, if it had not been for the Lord was on my side. And the reason she came into ministry was she had a grandmother who prayed for her. And you're here today. More than likely you are here because someone prayed for you. My mother, my sister, my father, my brother, my grandmother, somebody generations ago may have prayed for you. And are you not thankful for that? Are you not thankful that God has brought you this far and that he will continue to bring you? And that's really our message today, that God is on your side. So Gio, whenever.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.